I don't know if you noticed, but all three of our singers were up here smiling as they sang. And, you know, as we enter into a spirit of worship, it's just pretty good to be able to enjoy. It isn't just performing, it's worshiping the Lord and enjoying that. And so I'm really happy with the youth praise team for the joy and heart that they put into it. Got to think of where I am, what I'm doing, just a second here. I know I was supposed to do something with this. There we go. And it's good to have your Bible when you're preaching too. Yeah, I don't think I do yet. that might be in the as we get to the kingdom. Today I want to talk about come as you are. How many people dress differently today than they do every other day? Okay. Well, the come as you are is kind of an invitation, and I'm glad you dress up. I'm glad of that. But you know, and when we say come as you are, we're not only talking about how you dress. We want you to come being yourself. Do you ever go any place and they didn't really like who you were? Because you were being yourself. We'll let that go. Anyway, every so often I get a bunch of invitations in the mail. Do you ever get invitations? In the South, we call it an invite. I don't know if you do that up here. We call it an invite. I got an invite this week. But we got invitations for weddings that are far off that we can't go to, so we send a card or whatever. And to anniversaries that are far off, somebody had I think Donnie Schlinker had an anniversary. Was it his 50th or 60th? 60th, I think. 60th, and I just wasn't going to make it there, so I sent a card. And, of course, you get invited to parties. Way back when they were Tupperware parties, and my wife sold Tupperware, and so those things would keep anything in the refrigerator till it molded anyway forever. You got Tupperware and you got investment parties. You ever get any of those? Or I like it planning your final. Whatever, it's a party, so what am I going to do with all my money that I got left? Where they have a party for that, and they give you food and invite you and a friend or your mate or whoever. And then you got cookware parties, and so there's all kinds of parties. And I wonder if someone famous invited you. Oh, I don't know who your heroes are, but... back when I, Johnny Unitas, that goes way back, don't it? A football star or a baseball star or what if the governor gave you a personal invitation to come and paid the way to Bismarck or the president? Now, I know if you're on one side, one president might be better than another, but if the president gave you a embossed thing and sent Air Force One down to pick you up, maybe you would go. I don't know. I would, just to kind of see things. And then on the back or on the side or somewhere on the invitation, you have the letters RSVP. Who knows what RSVP stands for and can say it? Can you say it? It's French. Respondez-vous play. Respondez-vous play? I don't know. I'm not French, so I don't know. But anyhow, and what it means when it's written on an invitation, it's respond whether you're coming or not, because we want to get a head count. We want to know how many we're feeding or how big the room needs to be or how many chairs to set up or whatever. And in polite society, what do? We respond and say, I can or can't make it. Well, you know, God has an invitation. God offers an invitation. He says in one place, come now, let us reason together. In fact, I would say all through the Bible, you have these invitations from God. Come unto me. I want to know you. I want to be part of your life. Come unto me. In Isaiah 60 or 118, it says, come now, let us settle the matter, reason together in the King James, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they're red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Come, even though you have all these problems and baggage and things that aren't perfect, come anyway. God offers us. In Proverbs, we find that wisdom gives its invitation, and too many people don't take the invitation. It says, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Wisdom is everywhere if you'll learn from it. But the problem is we want to do it our way. We don't want to always do it the smartest or wisest way. He takes a place beside the gate leading into the city at the entrance. She cries aloud to you, O people, I call out and I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, that kind of means not too bright. Okay, for the you who are simple-minded, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips and speak what is right. Wisdom is all around us, and if we will simply listen and do wise things, God has, his wisdom is always there in the multitude of counselors. When you go to make a decision, it's good to have the right people counseling. Now, you can get somebody who doesn't know anything, but the multitude of good counselors will guide us in a better way. And what's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Whenever you want to get where you understand more, you've got to understand that there is a God up there, out there. There is a God that created this universe. There is a God that has principles and a plan and a way to go. And so whenever wisdom is calling, in fact, it's an interesting chapter. You can read it sometime because it says wisdom was in the garden and wisdom was before the earth was created. And wisdom speaks to us all the time. God is always trying to get the message across through his wisdom. And so I hope you get a chance to read that passage. I'm not going to go all the way through it today. But sometime we'll have to get into wisdom and talk about that. All of God's word has an invitation. It's either explicit, where he says, come, or it's implicit. Here's the way of life. Take it. It implies that there's an invitation. In Isaiah 55, verse 1, it says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, all you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why do you spend your money on what isn't bread and your labor on what doesn't satisfy? Today, we have a whole bunch of people that are dissatisfied, no matter how much money they have. They're dissatisfied. They're unhappy. That's because, as in all things, unless God is where he belongs, we will never be satisfied. We'll chase after things that won't make us happy. You think that bigger house will make you happy? It won't make you happy unless God is in it. You think finding that right person will make you happy? It won't make you happy unless God is in it. You think getting that next promotion in your job will make it won't make you happy unless God is in it. You see, God has made us in such a way that only he can really give satisfaction to life. Only he living in our hearts. Give ear, come to me, listen, listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, an agreement, a contract, something that both parties are part of with you. And my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples and the ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations, and you will know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. I want you to know that it's really important that whatever God is speaking to you and to your heart, it is very important that we look for him back, that we respond when he gives the invitation and our hearts are being tugged, that we make the decision to come and follow him. Let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous their thoughts, and let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. God wants to have mercy on us. Yes, we mess up. If you haven't messed up, you haven't lived. If you don't make mistakes, you're not alive. And yet he's calling out to us. He says, have mercy on them to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so my word that goes out from my mouth. This is God's word. This is what he says in the scripture. It's God's purposes that he gives to us. Will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God sends out his word, and you hear it in various ways. And it is meant to reach your heart. And my heart, and to convict us and to draw us nearer to him. Jesus gives the invitation as well as the Old Testament. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. If you're looking for peace, then we need to go not to the world, not to this, not to that, but to the Prince of Peace. And that's Jesus Christ. Peace I give you, not as the world gives you. Even in the midst of difficult situations and trials, we as God's people can have peace. And they will look at your lives and say, why does that person have peace? What is it about them that is able to trust and rely and have confidence in the struggles that they happen to be going through? The invitation, Jesus gives the invitation. The Holy Spirit also gives the invitation. Here it says in Revelation chapter 20, and this is Revelation where it has all those warnings and all those things, the plagues and the trumpets and the vials and all the things that are warned against. At the end of it, and warnings are kind of an invitation too, aren't they? If you got a warning, then it's an invitation to find a better way. It says in Revelation 22:17, a spirit, God's Holy Spirit, and the bride. What's the bride? The church. The spirit and the bride say, come. Let everyone who hears say, come. Let everyone who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take freely of the water of life. You see, we don't quite understand it here as well because we have rain fairly often. But whenever you offer water in a desert, whenever you offer water in a drought, you see, that's where our hearts are without Jesus. We're in a dryness. We're in an emptiness. We're in a confusion. But he says, come and drink freely of the water of life. The Spirit and the church and whoever is listening, come. Jesus is not something, somebody standing way back there and says, I don't want you near me. You know, he isn't like some of these rich people that live in a gated community and they never have any contact with anybody but their own rich friends. He's not like that. He wants you and I to come to him. The mission of Jesus is all about inviting people. It says in Matthew 18:10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels do always behold my face, or their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost. His whole mission is to bring you, to give you the invitation. That's why he came to earth, to give you and me an invitation to come to God. How think ye, if a man had 100 sheep and one of them is gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is astray? His whole purpose was you and me. He had, when he was on the cross, dying for our sins, he had you and me in mind for the salvation of our souls. We got to be careful, though. You get the invitation and you lose it, what happens? Or if you doesn't, you know, you don't get it out of the mailbox and open it up, what happens? You know, if you have an invitation, it might be an invitation to give you $1,000. But if you lose the invitation, guess what? Take the invitation seriously and make sure that you're ready to accept or follow up on the invitation. In Matthew 22, we find some people that didn't follow up, and I think it's for our very... for us to think about. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. Big wedding feast. An invitation to a wedding. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them the time or tell them to come, and they refused to come. Then he sent more servants and said, tell those who I've invited that I've prepared my dinner, the ox and the fattened cattle, or they're already butchered and they're cooking and they're going to burn. Ladies, have you been unhappy with your husband whenever he's late and the food's cold and you're hot? Or yeah, that's the way it goes. Come to the wedding banquet. Verse 5, but they paid no attention. They went off, one to his field, another to his business. How many things do we do instead of God? How many things do we put ahead of God? When Jesus says, I am to be first, he means first. The rest, they not only didn't pay attention, the rest seized his servants and mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged, and he sent his armies to destroy those murderers and burn their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those who were invited do not deserve to come. So go to the street corners, the highways and the byways, and invite to the banquet anyone you find. You see, that's where we are now. The original that were offered, that were invited, what did they do? For the most part, they rejected the Lord. For the most part, they did not accept him. And now we're what's left. Invited. The banquet is ready. How are we treating the invitation? And so he goes on to say, whoever you find, anyone you find. So the servants went out to the streets and gathered the people and they could find, bad as well as good. You know, come as you are. He's not asking you to be perfect. He's not asking you to have overcome every individual sin that you have. He's asking you to throw away your past and go to Christ, but as you are right now, he's not making a prerequisite for you to come to the invitation. Verse 11, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed that a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. I don't know what kind of clothes those are, but when we come to the feast, when we come to the wedding, we have to wear the right kind of garments, and we're clothed with his righteousness is one of the thoughts that might be there. And he asked, how did you get in here to the wedding without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless, and then the king told the attendants to tie him up hand and foot and throw him outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but not everyone is chosen. It says, but few are chosen. As I said, he calls the bad and good. He calls the sinners to repentance. And so whenever he was on earth, he ended up going by a tax collector, which was the worst of the worst in their mind because they were consorting with the enemy, the Romans. And so Levi invited him to dinner. And while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, I'm in verse 15 of Matthew there, or of Mark 2. Many tax collectors gathered, and sinners were eating with him, and the disciples were there too, who followed him. And when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. All I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So if you're not quite up to the level, guess what? The invitation is to you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person. There's not one righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that's where we are. We have the invitation. It's open to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that how many? Whosoever will may come to Jesus. I'm going to skip down here to the next slide. And I love what Jesus offers. Here is the invitation. He says in Romans 8, there is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, because though through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Do you realize that? The invitation is for freedom. The invitation is for forgiveness. And the invitation is for a new life. I want to go down to Romans chapter 3, because so many times we get this invitation and we're not sure where we're going to go or how we're going to live, but God is able to not only invite us to this change, invite us to this salvation, but invite us to something that actually changes our life. Look at what it says in Romans 8. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering of sin, and condemned sin in the flesh. How does this happen? God sent his own Son. He sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh. He died in our place so that we may have eternal life. And then it goes on and talks about how our mind is controlled. And I want to get down to the end of this passage, because it says, for those in verse 14 who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. You are invited not only to be free from your past and your sins, but to become a child of God. I heard a quote, Jesus, the Son of God, became a man so that we who were not sons of God could become the Son of God, a Son of God, and an heir of the promises, where we can go to him personally. The invitation is not just to come to church. The invitation is not just to learn different things. The invitation is to God himself. You and I can go to the throne of God directly, without a priest having to stand between us, without curtains between us. It says we can come with boldness to the throne of grace. The invitation is out there. What are we going to do with the invitation? Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The invitation is there. What have I done so far with God's invitation? Is it sitting on the dresser? You know, his invitation has been sent. Is it on the coffee table? Have I stuck it in a drawer somewhere? What have I done? Have I jumped at the chance because I got the invitation? Oh, I'm ready to go? Or is it somewhere else? The RSVP, how have we responded to the invitation? He wants to know. He's setting up places at his table. He's figuring the food. Because it says that whenever he comes, it's like a banquet. We're all invited to attend. Whenever we come to Christ, it says our names are written in heaven. That is our guest list for eternity. Is my name written there? Have I received Jesus? Have I repented of my sins? Have I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? Have I, like Janelle, made my decision to go into the water and receive my invitation and announce to the world that I am ready to go and be with Jesus Christ? All the preparations have been made. Jesus has died for your sins. He has expressed God's love from heaven to you. And the offer is there, whoever, whosoever will, may come. And so I hope your invitation has been taken and received back in heaven saying, thank you, I'm coming, I'm here. There's a song I don't sing quite as often, but it expresses the importance. You can't make anyone else's decision for them. But, you know, just like we prayed for this piece of property and God opened the door and gave it, we can pray for each other and maybe God will open the door. He's already paid the price, right? And we just need to sign the deed. So let's turn to hymn number 266. And I hope you're thinking about the importance of not passing up this wonderful invitation of Jesus Christ. Let's stand as